Welcome once again. As I so often say, and as I always say, welcome to Sunday School. Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church. A Bible study. Today we want to deal with true witness. True witness. Do you remember the word synonym from a previous lesson? A synonym is a word that has the exact same meaning or nearly the same meaning of another word or other words. Some synonyms for the noun witness are evidence, record, report, testimony, proof. Some synonyms for the verb witness, the action word to witness, is to give evidence, to prove, to report, to record, to testify. Please, please, pay attention to the many times we use these words in this message. God and human beings can be witnesses who actively bear witness and testify of the truth. Of course, God always testifies of the truth. God, the one true God, used men to bear witness of the truth in the record we refer to as the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of humanity, but holy men of God spoke, moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Moved by the Holy Spirit, carried along by the Holy Spirit, refers to men being led inwardly, spiritually, by God Himself. The Holy Spirit of God the Father and God the Son. A vividly clear example of that is found in Revelation 19:10. It's recorded in Revelation 19:10. Worship God, for the testimony, the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Think about that. Peter, the Apostle Peter, gave us light into this when he testified of, when he recorded what the Holy Spirit led him to say in his first letter. Please listen closely. In his first letter, first chapter, beginning at verse 7, the end of verse 7, Peter says this: Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the completion of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Who prophesied of this grace? These very prophets who prophesied of the grace to you. Searching what or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ who was in them, was indicating when he testified, when the Spirit of Christ testified in them beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Notice that word testified of those things. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, to the prophets, not to these prophets, the Old Testament prophets, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Folks, at this very moment, you are being preached to, being taught by someone led by the Holy Spirit. If not, you need to stop listening to this and go do something else. Today's message is timely for all who will hear it, because the time is near. Maybe the time of your death, or in fact, the end of time as we know it, and the last day. In Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 9 and then back up and read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 1, 9. John the Apostle was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony, a witness of Jesus Christ. Now back to what God gave John in the first three verses of the revelation. The revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, gave to Christ to show his servants. Things which must take place in quickness. Things that will happen very quickly. And God sent and signified by his angel to his servant John. Now John, having heard from the angel, John, it says, who bore witness to the word of God. The word of God there, a reference to Christ. And to the testimony, the witness of Jesus Christ, to all things he saw. Oh my goodness, what God showed John. Blessed the one reading and those hearing the words of this prophecy and keeping those things having been written in it. For the time is near. Now please listen. I'm going to be reading a great deal from the Bible today. Please, please listen. Reading from John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name, John. Folks, we're going to take a pretty lengthy look at John the Baptist. And you'll see why in a moment. Goodness gracious, I don't think a lot of us have paid enough attention to John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus Christ said this about John the Baptist in Luke 7:28. No greater prophet than John the Baptist. Did you hear that? We need to listen. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name, Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. If they were doing that, when they sinned, they were taking part in the sacrifices being applied to themselves, which would cover their sins at that time. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest, Zacharias, before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Listen, this is a great story. Don't you dare not pay attention to this. This is important for you and I. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Remember what I said. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, no greater prophet than John the Baptist. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, prepared, made ready beforehand. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." This is not a fairy tale, folks. This is a true witness. True witness. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Wait on the Lord, folks. Wait on the Lord. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now listen. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." The story goes on. Great, great story, because it's true. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name, Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." No greater words can be said than that, folks. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, the Lord God, high and lifted up. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob, a reference to the church. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Again, folks, not a fairy tale. This is a true witness. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Beyond the age and barren, conceiving, and in the sixth month of that pregnancy. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit. And as the scripture said, so was that babe in her womb. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Now later on in that chapter, in verse 57... Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Now, let's go right back to what we were originally reading in John. There was a man sent from God whose name, John. And we know a little more about John, don't we? This man came for a witness, a testimony, to bear witness, to give a testimony of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but that he might bear witness about the light. He, the light, Jesus Christ, was the true light which gives light to every human being coming into the world. He, Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Now down to verse 15. John, witness says, it's interesting, the verb here is in the present tense. It's as if John's speaking to you and I right now. John witnesses concerning him, Jesus Christ, and cried out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." As Jesus said, "I am the eternally existing one, always in the present. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He has declared God. Now this is the testimony of John, the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" Now, in that question, when he says, "I'm not Elijah," he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, as the scriptures say. A type of came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I, a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said," Isaiah 40 verse 3. Now to verse 29 in that first chapter of John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness. John testified. Folks, again, it's not a fairy tale. This is true witness. And John bore witness. John testified, saying, "I saw the Spirit." Folks, the Holy Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove. And he remained upon him. That's, he remained upon Christ. And I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, did you hear that? And he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And John says this, and I have seen, an eyeball witness, folks. And not only that, but seen with the inward man, the spiritual man, as the Spirit of God bared testimony within John. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist was a great man. None greater among the prophets than John the Baptist, if you would believe Jesus Christ. You need to listen to John the Baptist. There's no greater witness among mere men than John the Baptist. His witness, his testimony alone, if you just had that recorded by the Holy Spirit-led apostles in the Holy Scriptures, that should be enough to establish the truth about Jesus Christ. And if you've heard that this morning, you're accountable. Or at whatever time you view or listen to this lesson. The Apostle Matthew also testified of, recorded John the Baptist's in-person encounter with Christ when John baptized Christ. In that encounter from Matthew, John witnessed the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon Christ and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father speaking. Matthew bearing witness to that account. And of course, John the Baptist as well. That was from Matthew 3, 16 and 17. May I repeat? Among mere men, there can be no greater witness than John the Baptist. But there is a greater witness than John. Again, you can turn and look at these verses later. I really prefer that you just listen. Please, just listen. Reading from John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm skipping around. That's the main reason I say please just listen. While you're scrambling to find it, you won't hear. John chapter 5, I'm beginning at verse 31. Christ speaking as he was speaking to the religious Jews of his day. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's what these folks would think. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now don't be misled as we read through here. You have to wait right down to almost when I'm through who that true witness is. You have sent to John, that meant John the Baptist, and he has borne witness to the truth. John has done that. He's borne witness to the truth, a true witness. Yet I do not receive testimony from man. He's God. He doesn't rely upon testimony from man. But I say these things that you may be saved. Because these witnesses that God sends, you do, as human beings, need to believe. He was the burning and shining lamp. That's John the Baptist. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, now this is the true witness. This is the bottom line of the true witness. Listen to me closely now. You need to follow this. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Here he's referencing himself. They don't believe Christ himself. Now listen very closely as we break down what he just said at the end here. And there's more to follow after we deal with this. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time. What does that call you to think of? If you've been listening to me, I pray it calls you to think of John 3:8, and a literal translation of John 3:8. You've neither heard his voice at any time, which means you have not been born again. The word abiding in you would be in the person of the Spirit of the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And in John 3:8, it says this. And pay close attention, but we're talking about the voice we hear in the new birth. You hear the voice of him, but can't tell where he comes from or where he goes. They hadn't experienced that, folks. When God saves us, we experience that. We hear the voice of the Spirit of God testifying within us, giving us a true witness that Jesus is the Christ. And irresistibly, because of the new birth, we respond by believing. Christ goes on in this context. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify, bear witness of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The blessed truth here, the blessed truth for God's people, is that life has been given to us, enabling us to come by faith to Christ. We hear that voice in the new birth, inwardly, spiritually. In repetition, when we come to faith to Christ, come by faith to Christ. That occurs when we are born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, according to the good pleasure and will of God. And as Christ says, listen, as Christ says from John 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. He will bear witness of me. The Spirit of truth will bear witness, will testify of me. True witness. And thanks be to God in His grace to His people. We believe that testimony unto the salvation of our souls. So great a salvation. The testimony, the witness of the forgiveness of sins through Christ and Christ alone is overwhelming and abundant. I'm going to repeat that. The testimony, the witness of the forgiveness of sins through Christ and Christ alone is overwhelming and abundant. Acts 14:17 is so true. God does not leave Himself without witness or without a witness. Numerous witnesses. The condition of the soul that rejects the forgiveness of sins through Christ is an inexcusable condition. If you don't know Christ and you're hearing this now, your refusal your rejection to being forgiven for your sins through Christ is inexcusable. To reject the gospel of Christ, you must deny the testimony, the witness of, number one, the Holy Scriptures. Number two, the prophets found in those Holy Scriptures. You must deny, number three, John the Baptist, who was sent by God as a witness to prepare the way of the Lord. Other than Christ, there's none greater than John among men. To reject the gospel, you must deny, number four, Jesus Christ Himself and the miracles that He performed. Folks, the book is not a fairy tale. It's a witness. Eyeball witnesses that saw what He did. Many of them. And it's recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Number five, you have to deny the apostles of the New Testament who wrote an eyewitness account of Christ's life and teachings. Additionally, they were given numerous other revelations from God that they wrote in their letters to the saints. To reject the gospel, you must deny, number six, the witness of believers today, including men called by God to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, witnesses of the truth sent by God. But I'm going to admit one thing to you. None of those things are sufficient except God births you again from above and witnesses to you inwardly, spiritually, by His Holy Spirit, whose testimony you will believe in the day of God's power. All of those things I just said would be relevant then. Now listen up as I close out. The true testimony. The true witness. The true evidence and proof of your new birth will be you believing the true witness that Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the only way you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven for your sins. Amen.